Good morning this morning. This is Beauty, Business, and Banking, and my name is Rochelle Hunter-Mosley. And we had such an overwhelming response to the insurance clip that we had to have a Q&A. Mm-hmm. So I asked Araya to come back to see if we can answer some of your questions, because she said, listen, we don't make the rules. We don't make the rules.
We don't.
So if you guys have any questions, please drop them in the comments and we'll try to answer as many questions as we can. But the rules have changed and Saraya is here to let us know what these rules are and how we can comply.
Yeah.
What's up, Saraya?
What's good? You're back at the gas. My homie.
But wait, you know I got an icebreaker question.
Uh-oh. No.
What?
Popcorn.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Three cards today.
Take one. Oh! They try to take me down. Oh, this is a good one.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, it says, what's one mistake you keep repeating? Mm. Just one? Just one, y'all. Just that's one. Hard. One. Well, you know what? I would say, like, and I don't know that necessarily that I would call it a mistake, because based on my level of consciousness, I do know that some things happen for a reason.
Right.
And they are part of your journey. What I do know about spirit is spirit keeps presenting you with the opportunity to change until you get the message. So in my mindset, making the change is by force or by will. Mm-hmm. And you could either have the will and do it willingly, or you're going to be put in a position that's going to force your back against the wall to hopefully get you to make the right decision.
Right.
Will or force, but mm-hmm. spirit always wins. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I said that to say that I believe that I keep repeating my mistakes around attachments in my life.
A to lot, things or people?
Well, mostly to people, family mm-hmm. in particular.
Mm-hmm. Friends, so you have an attachment.
People that I want to help and be overly generous to because I'm interested in seeing them be the best that they can be, and mm-hmm. I know what their potential is. I'm just giving some examples.
Right, but, right.
You know, it could be anything, like mother, father, siblings, things like that.
Right.
And a lot of the things that I feel like weigh in on me heavy is surrounded around my attachments.
Mm. So you know what I've been reading about attachments is also connected to abandonment.
Mm.
So you might need to tap into that.
Yeah.
Like, where did this start? Because it didn't start yesterday.
Oh, I know where it started already.
You know, okay.
I know where it started. I wouldn't necessarily say it from me, it's abandonment. Mm-hmm. But at a young age, my mm-hmm. sister and I were placed in a role to be caretakers to our other siblings.
Oh.
And so naturally, just as a natural order of progress, mm-hmm. we took on the obligations of being that savior person in the family.
Right.
Like, I didn't necessarily sign up for that role.
Right, I understand.
But that role was presented by default as a way of me always stepping up to the plate. Like,
right.
And from little things, like, mm-hmm. oh, your brothers need to get picked up from school. Now, you're the
I
one
that
picking them up from school all the time.
All like,
now
the time.
All of a sudden, this is the way.
It's your job.
It's your job.
Yeah, it's your job.
Because you did that one thing that one time, and now, you know, you're that person.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, for me, that right there is something that I've gotten better at, mm-hmm. but it still shows up constantly for me.
Right. That's why I like these questions so much, because you could talk for hours with these
cards.
You
know I could talk.
You know.
You know I like
but my thing that I keep repeating, I'm going to be completely honest with you and transparent. I keep repeating using my American Express. I keep repeating using that American
Express. This is a thing.
I keep on using that damn American Express.
Yeah. You want them points.
I got to get it out of my head. I got to, you know. I'm a work in progress. I am doing much, much, much better.
Right.
However, mm-hmm. I'm not at 0% of using it, to be honest with you.
Is that where you want to be?
Well, I want to not use it. When I use it, I just want to pay it. Use it and pay it. And sometimes I just kind of, I'm going to pay it in a couple of days.
Yeah,
and, you know, I just fall behind on, I'm going to pay it in a couple of days. And now it's a week. And now it's a, you know.
Yeah.
It turns into thousands. Yeah.
Right.
Well, let's get into why we're really, really here.
Before it's here.
Exactly. Exactly. So I ain't got no money for no insurance.
Now, we know that is not true. We know that's not true. The one thing you are is covered.
I am covered. I am covered.
You are.
Yeah. So what's new now in the industry of insurance that we absolutely need to know before we get into all these questions? Because we may just answer them all in what you have to say about what it is that we really, really need today. Right.
So, I mean, there's two things that I wanted to address, like, off the top, because a lot of people's concerns were about insurance, but mostly centered around Medicare.
Yes.
In particular.
A lot of people. Right. A lot of people don't know the difference between the two.
Right.
They don't.
Between insurance. Well, Medicare is insurance.
They don't know the difference between Medicaid and Medicare.
Okay.
So when do you have one and when do you not have the other? Gotcha. And how much they cost and all the
things. This is great. This is simple.
Yeah.
So Medicaid is insurance that's offered to you through the state in most instances. So a lot of times I'm thinking just our state, New York, New Jersey, but people are watching from everywhere. So it's, you know, your state, just know that every particular state has their own compliance and regulation. So when I'm speaking specifically about New York, New Jersey. Right?
Okay. That's because that's where we are, y'all.
Right. That's where we are. Right. So, but that this could vary. And that's what I'm saying. This could vary from state to state, but Medicaid is a program that allows you to have health insurance if you're under the income federal guideline. You will qualify for it.
And what's that income?
The income guideline will change based on state to state. But right now, the income federal guideline for New York City is approximately $1,600.
A what?
A month. Okay.
So you're saying that you will not qualify if you make over $1,600 a month?
No, I'm not saying that.
Oh, what you saying?
I'm saying that you qualify and you're eligible for Medicaid in the state of New York if you make from zero to $1,600.
But if you make over that.
Right. No, let's stay right there for a second.
Okay.
All right? Because this is important. Because what happens in the world of internet is that people pick and choose parts of what you're saying.
Right.
And then they go hamburger with it.
Okay. Okay,
and now
listen.
It's the whole,
listen,
every dynamics is changed.
Slow me down. Listen.
Okay. So people who need health insurance whose income is low, which is a lot of people, homeless people, children, people who are just here in the country for the first time, people that live here that are on this disability, people who are unemployed, the income is low and their income may be under $1,600. And I believe that number is like $1,568. So don't quote me. I'm saying $1,600 just for approximation.
Okay.
Right? So those are the people that qualify who are fully eligible for Medicaid, and that's health insurance, right? However, there are some exceptions to that rule under different circumstances. So that's another thing that I want to make clear, because what I'm talking is about in a general sense, but everybody's situation is case by case.
Right.
Because everybody's circumstances are different. You might not know what another person's circumstance is, so I don't generally look at somebody and say you're healthy just because you look the part, you know, at an eye level. You know, I have to take an opportunity to ask you certain questions and things like that. So Medicaid is low income, and low income in the state of New York is $1,600 or less a month.
Okay.
All right.
I got that.
Medicare is a federal program that's offered typically to people who are 65 and older.
Okay.
But not only 65 and older. Okay. There are exceptions to that. People who are on disability qualify for Medicare. So say you are, you know, a disability could be categorized as anything. Mm-hmm. It could be categorized as somebody with chronic asthma could be a disability.
Right. Okay.
Somebody who is diabetic, who's going through certain things could be a disability. Mental health could be considered a disability. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Okay.
But if you are receiving Social Security disability at any age for 2 years or more, then you qualify for Medicare.
Right.
That's an exception to that 65 and older rule.
Okay.
That's one exception. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I got it.
So that's just an example. So all of us at some point are going to age into Medicare,
mm-hmm.
because Medicare is you worked and now you hit 65. The job is not giving you insurance anymore. And now you're going for the largest public insurance in the world, and that is Medicare.
Medicare.
All right. So normally you age in to Medicare when you hit 65 years old. That is when you've aged in, unless you have those other circumstances that I just described.
Okay. So who pays for this Medicare?
Okay. So there's a number of things that happen with Medicare, because I did see, and let me just give context to the who pays for this conversation, right? Because Medicare is, you will see Medicare if you worked at least 40 quarters, you get 40 credits, and you'll see that that is what qualifies you to, at the age in, at the age that you are when you age into Medicare, you work in 40 quarters as part of the qualifications for you to age in and not pay for the Part A of the Medicare.
Okay.
Okay.
Because you know they was going ham about this.
But you know what happens, though?
It's,
people have to spend more time educating themselves. Because right. what I'm saying, yes, I'm collapsing decades into days by having the information and streamlining it and bringing it straight to you. But everything I'm saying is public information.
Right.
And we live in the technology age. Like, you can literally Google this stuff. There are books on this stuff. And when you are the eligible age at 65, Medicare sends every household a book called Medicare and You.
Mm-hmm. Like, I got the AAA.
Correct. AARP.
AARP. Soon as everybody gets that. I was 55 minutes.
They don't miss a beat.
No.
They don't miss a beat. Everybody gets that Medicare and You book. And most people take that book like they do the rest of their mail, and they fold it up and shove it somewhere.
Yeah.
It either goes in the garbage. What is this? I don't need this. It's not relevant to me. Mm-hmm. And they rip it up and throw it away, or they shove it somewhere behind a couch. I'm making a joke about it because that's where people just, you don't know where the mail goes, but it's just not read.
Right.
You want to hide something from our folks,
put it in a book. 100%. Right? So what I heard her say, people, is that we need to use our smartphones for more than just taking pictures of our food and our vacations and all of that
Absolutely.
Stuff. Absolutely. Because y'all was all on my page acting like, oh, I've never heard of this before. I've never heard of anything. You have to have heard of this if you in a situation where you have Medicaid, or you have Medicare, or you have a family member that needs Medicare. You should have heard of this by now.
Yeah. You know what I see that happens? Because I'm boots on the ground. So even though I do have my clients who come to the office, I do a lot of outreach community work. And what I've learned is that because people are not educating themselves about this, they don't know how they qualify for it. So they get it, and then they don't talk about it. They try not to ask any questions because they believe that they got this by mistake. And if I say something to somebody, that now I'm going to get this taken away from me. Having no idea of how they became eligible for it. Why they got it or not.
Right.
They just feel like they lucked up. I hear that often from people. So I'm not just saying this based on my own, me making an assumption. I'm saying this based on me saying things that I think is fundamental to someone who's a beneficiary. And they don't know. And I'm like, how you didn't know that? And they're like, honestly, I didn't know how I got it. I just have it, and I know when I go to the doctor, I'm showing up with 3-4 insurance cards, and whatever one works, the one that I'm going in with. I'm like, this is insane. You need to know.
Yes.
Because the reality is that we don't know what's going to happen in the future. You know why? Because it hasn't happened yet.
Right.
So the only thing that you could do is prepare yourself as best as you can, and you know that insurance and being able to take care of your health, to be able to get blood work, to get x-rays, to do MRIs, to get CAT scans, all these things to discover if you can keep yourself alive is centered around insurance.
Yes.
So that's just a little bit of it. So Medicare is 65 and older unless you're on Social Security disability for 2 years or more, then you qualify for Medicare.
Okay.
And then you age into Medicare at 65. If you work those 40 quarters or more, then you're eligible to get Part A at zero premium.
Okay.
Because Part A and B cost.
Okay.
There are 4 parts to Medicare.
Okay, so now we're at A. So what about
That's
B?
That's A, B, C, and D. So A is the 40 credits you worked it. They took the Medicare out your check. You qualified. You did the requirements, blah, blah, blah. Now, and Part A is hospitalization. But it don't stop at that. It doesn't stop at you being hospitalized.
Right.
There's so much more to you getting health, your health taken care of besides the hospital.
Right.
Right now, if something happened to you that was a nick or a bruise or a cut, are you running to the hospital?
Right. Yeah.
You're going to run to the hospital?
No, I'm not.
So if you had something that was like an emergency but not hospital, like really an emergency for the hospital, where would you go?
The urgent care.
But if I'm telling you Part A covers hospital, who's going to pay for the urgent care? So that's why there's four parts of the Medicare. A is hospitalization. B is your outpatient services, like the urgent cares, like your clinics, like your primary doctors, like your specialists.
Okay.
That's Part B.
Okay.
And then you have Part C and you have Part D. And we all know what Part D is. Part D is prescription drugs.
Oh, okay.
So Part A is hospitalization. Mm-hmm. Part B is outpatient services, which are your clinics, primary doctors. Mm-hmm. Part C are your, what I consider your ancillary benefits. Those are your Medicare advantages.
Okay.
And then Part D is your prescription drug coverage.
Okay.
And those are the four parts of Medicare. Mm. A and B is just the start.
Okay. So what I heard you say earlier, you said that if you make zero to 1600, that you don't, that you're eligible for the Medicare, right?
But no.
You're not.
That 1600, what we talked about, that's Medicaid.
Oh, Medicaid. Right.
So, let me just say for folks, here's a way visually, because I'm a visual person, so you could tell me and I'll be processing it. Okay. But if I see it, now I know. Mm-hmm. So for those that are listening, you'll know the difference between your Medicaid and Medicare, because your Medicare is that red, white, and blue card that comes in the mail.
Okay. Okay.
That red, white, and blue card that says A and B on it, that's your Medicare card. Your Medicaid card is your benefit card. It says benefit. A lot of us know what that means, because your benefit card is you get food stamps on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that food stamp card is your Medicaid card.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Food stamps is big in New York. So if you got a benefit card and you got, and it says benefit, and that's your Medicaid card on it, because HRA, which is the Human Resources Administration, provides a multitude of services. Food stamp is one. Medicaid is another.
Okay.
And then they have a list of other programs that you can get from there.
Okay.
So that's why when I'm seeing people go hamburger in the comments, we don't got this. Why they got this and that? The resources are there. So you and I, we didn't make the rules.
Right.
Okay. We're just learning how to educate ourselves enough so that we can navigate our situation and be able to have what we need at home.
That's all this is about, y'all. Just educating.
Does that make sense?
So the information that we have, the information that they gave us, and how we can stay in compliance with what is going on.
Right.
Because you have to. It's no other way.
Right. Well, stay in compliance with them, but get what we need.
Yeah.
Because this is about getting what we need.
Right.
About taking care of our health. Mm-hmm. About being able to. These scenarios that we're talking about span way out, far out, outside of me and you going to the hospital or to a clinic.
Right.
We're talking about people. I saw somebody on here that said, well, I got a bill for $130,000. This is a real thing. People come into emergency situations all the time. You talked about how the last time you were here, you had an ear infection and got put in emergency surgery for brain surgery.
Yep.
Who would ever think that that would happen? And if you had to fit that bill probably would have been upwards of $130,000.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
So now these people are stuck with these bills because they had emergency situations and they're trying to figure out who pays for what and how to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're here doing our best to educate folks about navigating through the system, because before, in order to navigate, you got to know the rules of the game.
Right.
When you sit down and you play Monopoly, how are you going to even win unless you just play and steal the bacon? And you're not really looking to win or whatever. Right. You need to know the rules of engagement. In order for you to devise a strategy that fits your household and your needs.
Exactly. And everybody's not the same.
No.
Everybody is not the same. Just because she got it and he got it don't mean that you're going to qualify for it or you're going to get it or that you even need it.
Right.
You might need something else added onto your insurance than what somebody else has.
Right.
So you can't always piggyback on everybody in my family got this, so I'm just going to get this. No, it don't work like
that. That's a great point. Because people do that a lot. And they'll say, oh, well, Rochelle has United Healthcare, so I'm going to get United. Not even knowing why you have United or if that best fits their needs.
Right.
Because every insurance can provide something different. No right. one insurance is the same.
Right.
Just Absolutely. Like no one circumstance is the same.
Right.
But I'm right. glad that we're talking about the $130,000 bill that a person said that they had acquired mm-hmm. because that happens frequently with people getting stuck with these bills, and it causes a lot of anxiety for people, mm-hmm. especially seniors who need services. Right. So what I wanted to suggest, if this person hears this or if they're watching at a later date, that portion of the $130,000 bill that they obtain can be paid if it was in the hospital and you are a Medicare beneficiary. Medicare covers 80% of all of its all of the services. So if you have Medicare A and B, which is how the initial thing that you'll have in order to complete it, if you have Medicare A and B covers 80% of the bill. The other 20% is to be covered by the client.
Okay.
So what I see is that this person went to the hospital, had an emergency, had surgery or did x-rays or whatever, and they got a bill for $130,000. You're going to send that bill. You're going to provide your Medicare part for that portion. And then the other 20% of that bill would be the responsibility of the
person.
Patient.
Right. Right.
Now, there are ways for you to get that balance covered. But that might need a little more of a sit down. What would I do in that situation? If I didn't have Medicaid, I would opt into looking into a Medicaid program called a spin down.
A spin down.
So the spin down is the difference between the income guideline and the difference between what you're actually earning every month. A spin down allows a beneficiary to acquire Medicare even if they're over the guideline. That's what you were asking me earlier.
Right. So what do you do in a spin down? What does that mean?
Right.
So, you start spending money?
No. What? So the spin down is just like, right, that part. See, you in that Amex card. Here you go again, right? The Amex. Look at that. So what the spin down does is allow a person an opportunity to qualify for full Medicaid if you're over the income.
Okay.
So just for number's sake, let's use this as an example. Say you earn every month $2,000 into your household from whatever means, whether it's your Social Security, pension, whatever mm-hmm. Whatever you get your income from. Mm-hmm. Say that number is $2,000. We know that I told you that the income guideline is how much?
$1,600.
Right.
Right.
And you earning $2,000 is how much over $1,600?
$400.
So what Medicaid says is if you pay $400 a month, you're basically essentially buying into Medicare. So we'll
With my extra money, I have to give it to Medicare.
To acquire full Medicaid.
Right.
That's one way. So generally people who are just a little bit over, that's what option that I would suggest, like maybe $100, $50. But if that number starts to span like in the big figures, like, you know, you make $5,000 a month and you found out that you have a chronic illness and you can't cover the 20% that's your responsibility. Mm-hmm. At that point, there are other programs that the state would allow you to apply for, which is called the Income Pool Trust is one of them. Mm-hmm. So an Income Pool Trust has that same theory of a spin down.
Okay.
But then you would pay 10% of whatever the difference is that would make you eligible. So in that instance that we just gave, if the difference was $400, they would say if you paid $40 a month, which is 10%, then you can have full Medicaid.
Oh, wow.
All right? But the spin down, Income Pool Trust, there's a lot of things surrounding that a person needs to know. It's just not cut and dry.
Right.
And I see oftentimes a lot of seniors give a lot of pushback because you have to qualify yourself. What they do during a income pool trust is that the overage of the money that we're talking about mm-hmm. goes on a debit card.
Oh, okay.
Because if the money is on a debit card, they don't qualify that as income. So that $400 has to go on a debit card. You can still use that debit card any way you choose to pay your cable, put towards your rent, whatever you're normally using it for. Mm-hmm. So most seniors don't want to do that option, even if they need the help, because in their mind, it's invasive.
Right.
And they feel like, I've been operating my money on my own my whole life. Mm-hmm. I'm 80 years old. I don't need you to take $400 out of my money every single month and put it on a debit card. And before now, that program used to be monitored by somebody else. So when they took the $400 off in this instance, you didn't have control over it, per se.
Okay.
But those are some of the changes. When I came in, you said, what are the changes that happened? And those are some of the changes.
Yeah.
Now, you will still fully be in control of your income. It's just going on a debit card. So they still have to deduct that out of your income check. So if you're on Social Security and you're bringing in that $200,
right,
they still go into your account each month and
pull
move
it out.
That into the debit card. You have the debit card in your possession, so you're still doing what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But now you have full Medicaid.
Right. Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's a little bit of a process. And you need a professional to assist
handle
you.
That, to handle that.
This is not something that I'm telling you go rogue out there and start doing. You know, find someone who does what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Our agency. Mm-hmm. This is not a plug, but I'm just saying, go somewhere with somebody that you know, like, and trust.
Mm-hmm.
Who can advise you about what state rules and regulations, who know what the programs are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you work with them as a professional to basically navigate your circumstance.
Right. And, you know, some people just go to YouTube University for everything. And it's cool to go and get some information. But you still need somebody that specializes in doing what it is that you need done.
Yeah.
And don't just sit there in limbo because somebody on the social media told you, like us.
Right.
We just giving you information that we know.
Do your
this
research.
Is her area of expertise. I am just sharing just to let you guys know that you guys have opportunities out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not out here alone. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are going through the same things.
That's right.
A lot of people are going through the same things. And like I tell everybody, every Tuesday morning, what do I say? Instagram is a bald-faced liar. It's a bald-faced.
Is that what you're telling them?
Yes, I do. Social media is a bald because everybody don't have it together.
Right.
Everybody don't have it together.
No.
Some people are walking around here with no insurance.
Right.
Some people walk around here. Like you said, they got insurance on their phones and their cars and all the things and their jewelry and everything, but don't have, as soon as they get sick, they ain't got no health insurance. They ain't got no life insurance. We frying chicken to bury them. That don't make no sense at all.
It's true.
It doesn't.
It's true.
So, Ashley, is it any questions?
No. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
No, this is good. So another thing that somebody mentioned is like they were a homeowner. And they wanted to address getting these services. So just if I think off of the top of my head, there are people who have retired. You know, say you retired, you and your spouse, and you own a home in New York or Queens or wherever you live, right?
Mm-hmm.
They believe that because they are homeowner that they can't receive these benefits. And that's furthest from the truth.
Okay, okay.
You can acquire these benefits under certain circumstances, and you can. And I have plenty of clients who are homeowners and have assets and still receive state Medicaid and are within compliance.
Okay. Okay.
So this is possible. Again, like I said, talk to a professional that you know.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out to one of us. You know, Rochelle will be more than happy to pass the message along, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And we're going to have your information at the end of the show anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was another question, too, that our lady asks, do you have to have good credit to get insurance?
No.
You don't.
So for health insurance, this is not, credit is not a criteria.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For health insurance.
Okay.
Now, there are other types of insurance, because right now we're just talking about health insurance.
Right.
Because insurance is like a huge topic.
Right.
So, but I believe that some people are probably thinking about insurance like, you know, there's rental insurance.
Yes.
You in an apartment, you know, normally the landlord or the property manager wants you to have rental insurance.
And even if they don't want you to have it, you guys should have renter's insurance.
Because
you don't know when everybody got the key to everybody's door.
Mm-hmm.
When you live in an apartment building, that's the only thing. When I first moved, because I never lived in a building, in an apartment before. So when I moved here, I left my key. So I'm going crazy about, oh my God, I lost my key. I don't know how to get in the house or whatever. So my homegirl was like, go and ask the doorman to let you in. My head
went
like
on a swivel.
So confused.
Right.
This man went boop, boop.
Just like that.
Just like that. I had no idea. So my thing is that what if your things are not insured? You right. don't know what's going on in your house when yeah. you are not there.
Right. And that's just one instance. That's theft. But what happens if you have a flood or somebody's apartment gets yep. flooded or,
yep.
you know, God forbid there's a fire mm-hmm. or, you know, mm-hmm. any type of damages. Mm-hmm.
I have to tell my son all the time. I'm reminding him mm-hmm. almost every other month. Did you pay your renter's insurance? Yeah. Do you have your renter's insurance? Yeah. Do you make sure you have your renter's yeah. insurance? I have to stay on them because it's so important because yeah. I don't want that to be my liability.
That's right. That's
I don't right. want to be worrying about what your stuff is doing because yeah. you done got flooded out and the right. fire and this and that.
Yeah.
No.
And it's affordable.
Yeah.
Like, real talk, you can get like $100,000. Normally, most lease landlords or property developments want you to have at least a minimum of $100,000 of the insurance.
Right.
I'm trying not to say too right. much because then it goes into too much yeah, other areas. Mm-hmm. And that, for instance, could range you anywhere from $130 to maybe $250, depending mm-hmm. on where you live mm-hmm. and what you're trying to...
Yep. From Jazz_N_Nature, uh-huh. they represent all types of insurance.
I didn't hear you say that again.
Who what?
Do they represent all type of insurance policies?
Who was Do they who? Okay. Okay.
Jazz, are you saying they, you're they as in someone awesome. That does insurance like her? Mm-hmm. Do she do all types of insurance policies? If that is the question, I would say yes. You've helped me with yeah, so many different types.
We do income protection. We do life insurance. Mm-hmm. We do accident and sickness protection. And that's on the insurance side there. Also, the health insurance, the Medicare. We help people understand and navigate the system and become qualified for Medicaid. And some people have Medicare and Medicaid.
Right.
Because it, remember what I told you, Medicare covers you 80%. Medicaid covers you the other 20%. And then the plan offers you some additional benefits if you are qualified for a plan in your region. And so we help with that as well. And we also do another thing, too, that I think is relevant to what's going on in the market today. And that is help people get home care for their loved ones who are at home or who are struck with illness and need some assistance.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And that okay. can be covered through the Medicaid as well, too.
Oh, through the Medicaid
right.
or care?
Cade.
Cade.
Right.
So if you're over, so this woman is 70, late 70s,
mm-hmm.
and she may need some home care. Yeah. So was she?
Yep. If she has Medicaid, Medicaid is the portion that if you are eligible for their program, mm-hmm. you can be, they will assist you and make the payment and help you with those payments.
Oh, okay, great.
Another question. She was asking about your services.
Yes, absolutely.
The other question she had was, do you have reps in California?
Yeah, we got reps all over. Yeah.
Another question from Lucy is, what's the oldest age someone can get new life insurance plan?
A new life insurance?
The oldest age?
Like, that's a great question. Because the older you are, the more you are kind of capping off on what you're able to acquire in terms of life insurance.
Right.
Because obviously the insurance companies are going to hedge their bet on your lifespan.
Yeah.
So if you're 80, 90 years old, like, there are policies for people that we call final expense. So even if you're a senior and you're 60, 70, 80, there are some final expense policies that you can qualify for, that most people will qualify for, but it's just what I said. It's a final expense.
Just for the...
So it's the, only for
the
you,
funeral.
Right, because the amounts are so, you know, the amount of the payout is $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. I mean, you can get some final expense that are a little higher than mm-hmm. that, but they could get expensive because of the person's age.
Right.
So those would be by case, we would basically run a quote and see what the person qualifies for and be able to pick the best selection. But the answer is yes. If you are 60, 70, 80, you can still acquire life insurance, just maybe not a robust amount of money right. that you're looking to have mm-hmm. because the premiums are higher. So that's something that most people would want to consider.
Right. Like, so basically what I heard her say, if you older, you ain't making nobody rich when you die.
No, nobody's rich.
If you wait that long right. to get life insurance,
right.
you ain't making nobody rich. It's, you know? it's just for you. And right. if that's what you want.
But people need that though, yeah, because there's a lot of expenses. Okay. You have the the coffin, depending on how people want to be buried. Mm-hmm. You have the memorial service. Mm-hmm. You need a car service to the services. You need one leaving to the burial.
Right, right. It can still be expensive.
You know, it's expensive. It's expensive.
I know when I was trying to get my mom insurance, right, like life insurance, mm-hmm. and my mom, you know, she had a few illnesses, right? So I wasn't clear mm-hmm. on how this whole thing worked. You know, they okay. had to come out and do her blood work and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I asked her in terms of what her illnesses were or whatever. You know, and it's like you have to be very forthcoming and very open with that your information, because mm-hmm. they're going to find out. Mm-hmm. So it was wind up being more things that they mm-hmm. were. Yes.
Then she was then came forth that, about.
Right. Then she talked about, and then they wind up not giving her the insurance.
Yeah.
So I wound up getting her some insurance with AARP.
Okay.
You know, just enough to at the time, just okay. enough. I felt like maybe $20,000-$30,000 just to make sure that we can take care
cover
of her
the
stuff.
Final
and,
expenses.
Yeah, the final yeah. expenses and stuff. And you know, it could be a little discouraging when you think that you're starting early and you got a young mom and
right.
she's 50, sometimes, you know, late 40s, 50 years old, yeah. maybe even 60, you feel like you're starting early. And in my incident, it wasn't early enough mm-mm. because she was already had yeah. all her illnesses and they didn't want to
right.
yeah,
and
insure her.
In general, 50, 60 is not starting early, not even just because of the illnesses that mm-hmm. a person has. That age. Is like you
so
have
you're saying
to look
you can
at the life expectancy of a person in general. Mm-hmm. And that can vary from a black woman to a black man to a white woman to a white man. Mm-hmm. The life expectancy, there are certain numbers associated with that mm-hmm. in terms of your age.
Right.
That have
right.
to be considered too. So I would say people get your insurance when you're young.
Right.
Like, you know, people get their insurance on babies, on teenagers.
Yeah.
Like, these are ages that you can get whole life policies that cover you your whole life mm-hmm. at a nominal fee because you opting in the game early.
Early, yeah.
And your kids will appreciate you for that because at the end of the day, by the time they need to acquire life insurance for themselves, if they wait until they're at a age that they can situate themselves, like after college or starting a business and finally getting your own apartment and your own vehicle to get to and from and all of that. And now you're finally looking up and you're like, I'm 30 years old, I'm 35. I could probably afford another bill for insurance. You still, it's going to be higher than it would have been if you had a policy that was at a 15, 16, 20 year old age.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You kind of already answered this question, but She Needs _ Hair asks, can I get life insurance on a significant other?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So
I'm going to tell you something. I know this lady. I'm just going to say, she got life insurance on everybody that didn't have no life insurance in the neighborhood.
Right.
Everybody. So when something happened to these people.
Smart.
Guess what? She was the person responsible for the burial and all the things. She was paying for the insurances, and she got the money.
She paid for it.
And that's how she paid for it.
She was forward thinking.
100%. 100%.
And solution driven.
So She Needs Hair, get insurance on all them family members that you think don't wanna pay for it or whatever. You paid a little premium. Anything
yeah.
happened,
yeah.
it's all on you, babe.
Yeah.
It's all on you. Yeah.
Hungry Rose. So
that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know what else I just wanted to talk about? Just hit one more thing at that time that I was trying to get some insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And because I had the brain surgery, mm-hmm. I got denied.
Yeah.
Because it's certain, like, talk about that. Like,
there's certain criteria. So mm-hmm. let me put this down.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're not talking about health insurance anymore.
No.
Because earlier, somebody asked, did you need a credit check or was there criteria around health insurance? At that time, the answer is no.
Right.
Now we're talking about yeah. other insurance.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yeah, there you go.
When you're hungry.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Let me get that one little kernel yeah. situation. That one little kernel could take you out.
It could. It could.
I had a kernel take a whole tooth out.
A whole tooth?
Whole tooth.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, this serious business. Mm-hmm. The aging process. See why you need insurance?
You gotta have insurance. You just go and get one in there,
sorry.
Pull out your 3-4 cards.
You know what I'm saying? One of them is gonna pay for it. So there are criterias around life and these types of policies. So the policy that you were trying to acquire was long-term disability.
Yes.
So for that long-term disability, they are going to run the numbers on their end, so to speak. And they want to see what your health looks like. So they're going to ask you a series of questions about your health and certain ailments that you might have. Mm-hmm. And the objective is for you to be truthful, or they're going to find out anyway, more than likely. Because they're going to run their program like they do. And they're going to see. So normally, if you're under a certain amount of money, that's a life insurance policy that you're talking about when you say the blood work and stuff. Mm-hmm. So even with these long-term disabilities, you can. But they're really looking for certain injuries that disqualify you.
Because I didn't even say nothing about me being hospitalized. It was like, oh, well, what happened when you went to the hospital on this day and that day?
Yeah.
I was like,
they get the report.
What day?
You know? And now, like, now that you're not being truthful, the answer is no.
Right.
Because sometimes people do go to the hospital and that doesn't disqualify them.
Right.
But we're already like, you know, tendency is to become protective about the information because, you know, we're in an age where everything is out there anyway.
Right.
Whether you want it to be out there or not. But you might not necessarily become disqualified because you were had a hospital stay. They're looking for certain ailments,
certain things
like brain injuries and things that are gonna move you closer to them having to pay out a big
We both were talking about that. It was like, you know, it was a brain surgery, it may be something different, it may be, you know, but let's try. Mm-hmm. So it was worth a try. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it was a brain thing, and I guess, you know, they didn't want to take on the liability.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, and so, and that's another reason why I always try to encourage people to not only get insurance when you need it, because most people wait until you need it to get it, mm-hmm. but make this a part of your umbrella of insurances that you do for yourself, because it's not just one insurance.
Right.
Insurance courses, that health insurance, that supplemental insurance, which is like the accident and sickness protection. So the accident and sickness protection helps you if you got to go to urgent care. Most people don't want to move away from the chair because they like, if I leave now, I'm losing the money from this client so I could run the urgent care. Mm-hmm. But if you have accident and sickness protection, which you do, they will pay you for you going in for those services. So you can submit it as a claim. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the numbers exactly. Don't quote me off of this because everybody's policies is different. But say you ran the urgent care for your lunch, they might give you $150 for that visit.
Right.
So now you're able to say, hey, you know what? I didn't lose money during that time that I was taking care of myself. If you have this accident and sickness protection and you ended up going to the hospital and they say you broke your leg, they pay you for each occurrence.
Right.
So, you know, if you broke your leg, that might be a $5,000 claim that they pay you out for. If you, you know, have to get surgery and they say your surgery is in New Jersey and you can't go out there by yourself and your family needs to come, they will give you the money for your parents, not give you, but part of the policy is you paying for that benefit of them saying, here's a $250 stipend for your family members who had to stay in a hotel so they could be there for you when you came out of surgery.
Exactly.
These are real life circumstances, things that really happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what other insurance do you feel that as a beauty professional or entrepreneur that we should definitely have that maybe someone else that have a 401k or work for a regular job, they have all these different insurances.
Right. Well, 401k is more of an investment vehicle for them, for their finances.
No, those people.
Right. I'm just saying, those people. And the thing about a 401k, just on that topic, because some people are like, yeah, I took the job because they had a 401k. But you can do your own investments outside of that.
Right.
Just like you're not going to take the job because the job offers you insurance unless that insurance is saying
some
if you work there, you're never going to.
Some people do.
But those
take
times
the job
are over, though, now where, like, when my father-in-law worked for MTA, the types of policies that they had, once they stop working, that insurance pays for everything for the rest of their life. But they don't have
it's not like that no more.
It's not like that. Mm-mm. It's not like that. Mm-mm. When you leave that job, they roll you right out of their insurance.
Yeah.
And they say you have to acquire your own by May of whatever or September or June and still start looking. And people are lost because they like, what? I've been on the jobs insurance. I've been using that. I've been going to the union or the VA or this and it, you know, all these things. But I strayed away from what you were saying about the policies.
It was, the policies that as a beauty professional or entrepreneur, what we should have.
Especially
because
you.
We don't know.
A beauty professional.
A lot of us don't know. Most I'm going to be very, very honest and transparent with you. A lot of us don't know. what we should have or how we can structure ourselves to help ourselves. God forbid we get sick.
Yeah.
So what are some of those insurances that we absolutely should have as an entrepreneur?
Definitely health insurance.
Okay, health insurance.
Absolutely. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Okay.
And even if you're not somebody who qualifies for Medicaid, because everybody's not low income,
mm-hmm.
and beauty professionals in particular are not necessarily low income.
Okay.
You guys are making multiple six figures out there. Right. This is what I know.
Right.
And so you can still buy insurance.
Right.
You can still buy insurance.
If you are, I didn't want to cut you off, but if you are a beauty professional or entrepreneur that is making under a certain amount of money.
And you qualify
for
one of these.
And you qualify for Medicaid, by all means, get
it. Right. And there's some that might not qualify for Medicaid and still are considered low income, and there are still free insurances for that as well.
Right.
Like there's an essential plan insurance that the state offers, and that's for people that are making approximately like $29,000 or less.
Okay.
So if you make it $29,000 or less, you can still have your United or your Emblem or whatever and basically still not pay for insurance.
Right.
And have that. And then if you're making in that higher bracket, obviously it's going to cost you on a month to month, but it's still going to cover you.
Right.
And that's what you're looking for.
Right.
So that I would absolutely suggest people to get the accident and sickness protection.
Okay.
And then depending on what your particular health needs are, which is this is a case by case scenario, but there are insurances that help you if you you buy into that. If you ended up with cancer, they will pay for your cost of the hospital and all your cancer medications. And these are things that you get when you're well.
Right.
So if you know particularly that you have a predisposition for this and your family, you know, has a history of everybody in the family has cancer at some point,
mm-hmm.
and you're young and you don't have cancer, you might want to take out that policy.
Right.
Just to cover yourself.
Right. Right.
And a lot of these policies are not that expensive.
Right. No more expensive than your Chanel bag.
Not at all.
And your boots.
Not even close.
And all the things
and all the
lunch dates and all the dinner dates and all the things. Like once you put all that stuff into perspective, you can afford the insurance that you need nowadays.
Oh, yeah, you couldn't afford it.
We're spending a lot of money.
Set a budget.
You're spending a lot.
Set a budget. Whatever that budget is. Oh, you know, $100 a month for on insurance, $250 a month, $300 for me and my family, $500.
Yeah.
And with that $500, I'm going to start acquiring an umbrella of insurance.
Of insurance. Yeah. Yeah.
And that might include your rental insurance, your health insurance, your life insurance, your accident and sickness, your short-term disability, and your long-term disability. And I believe that those are the basic ones that everybody who's an entrepreneur should have.
Right, right. I just want to make sure that I really reiterate, if you are renting, please get renter's insurance.
Must.
If you are renting, please get renter's insurance. It is very important. The last thing you want is to come home and all your stuff is gone or all your stuff is wet. Or all your stuff is just not in order.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last thing you want.
Mm-hmm.
Please get renter's insurance.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Mm-hmm. And that part about, listen, people are putting insurance on everything else. Your phone has
Please
an insurance
say it to the people.
People are putting insurance on everything else other than their life.
Other than their life.
Right. So even car insurance. But outside of the car insurance, when there's wheel and tire protection.
You know how much my wheel and tire protection was?
A lot. That's what I'm talking about.
I was like $600.
Right.
But I had it though.
And I would never get a luxury car without it.
Without it. Nope.
There's
nope.
not even if you nope. can't afford
the
wheel flat
and tires.
Oh, it's gonna happen.
Let me tell you something. Those run flat tires do not take you that far.
No.
So don't let them people tell you, oh, you can drive 200 miles.
Oh, that's
all this run flat. No.
No.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
No,
get all the insurances that you need. And it's gonna take your insurance, it's gonna take your note up crazy.
Right.
Because my note went up crazy, but I did have all the insurances that I needed.
Right.
I didn't have to change the oil in my car.
No.
I didn't pay for that. I didn't have to every time.
No.
You know how many times my run flat tires got flat?
I know.
Driving in New York?
I know.
A trillion times.
Yeah. You in New York, forget about it. Don't leave the dealership without
you
that wheel and tire protection.
You better not.
You pay for it.
You
it's a few
not.
Thousand dollars added to the lease or the finance. It's worth it.
It's worth
and
it.
And that happened to me. And you know, they were like, the run flat is like 50 miles. And they sound good in theory unless you stuck on the turnpike.
But where you go,
and where you gotta go is 100 miles away.
Exactly.
Right. So now that 50 miles means nothing anymore.
Nothing.
And because I have Will and Tire Protection, not only did they pay $600 for the tow truck driver that came and put my car, at the time I was driving a luxury car, so you can't just drag my car.
No, you can't drag it.
This needs to be on a flatbed.
Yes.
So they sent somebody out there on the turnpike to come and scoop me, us, and basically drive us, I think, 150 miles to the actual destination. The rim was broke.
Yep.
Which is a whole nother expense.
Yep.
The tires on a luxury car, you looking at between $500 and $1,000 per tire.
Mine was $1,200.
So, so say two of your tires were completely totaled.
Yep.
And they were $1,000 each. That's the $2,000 that you paid, that you would be paying out of your pocket that the Will and Tire Protection cost.
Yep. Yep. And that had happened to me.
Make it make sense.
Throughout the duration that I had that lease for 3 years. I at least had to get tires five different times. Something happened to my car five different times. Those potholes in New York are not friendly.
Notorious.
They are not friendly. You constantly buying wheels. So make sure y'all get all the protection y'all need.
Please.
When y'all getting these cars, period. Luxury car, any kind of car.
Period.
Is there anything that we're missing before we wrap this up?
You know, this is a topic that I think is uncharted. So we're absolutely going to need, it's when people start talking about insurance and what's required of them, it's the energy level goes down because it's just so much that a person
just
doesn't know.
Sink down in their chair.
Exactly.
They was like, ugh. They shrink always.
Shrinking and shrinking until a loved one is in an emergency.
Until somebody's in an emergency.
And now your back is up against the wall.
Do you know how many people that when they get in trouble with not having what they need, they're going to call me and be like, you know that girl that was on your YouTube
listen,
that was talking about, do
I'm
you think
I'm the official consultant for BBB.
Listen, absolutely. Absolutely. He is an official consultant.
Right.
What you need?
To clear these so I can see the paper.
Oh, I got it.
Could you help a sister out? Thank you. I appreciate you. If you could just wipe that from it, because I can't even see it.
Yeah, but I hope that this was helpful,
thank
y'all.
You.
I really hope that this was helpful. I hope that it was a lot of good information that you guys can use and share.
Yes.
Because this is really not a game.
No,
it's really not a game. Like when I'm looking at my expenses and stuff and I see the amount of money that I pay in insurance, I don't feel bad.
No.
I don't feel bad at all.
No. And it's a write-off. So for someone like you who's an entrepreneur, there's a category on your taxes, whoever is preparing it, or if you have a CPA, or if you have your tax strategist, whoever is helping you to strategize how to roll your bills out, this is all a write-off.
Right.
And if you're making money and you have the money to pay for the insurance, whether you're making it or not, and this is a write-off, you need the deduction.
Yeah, you need it.
You so, you know, thank you so
you
much. I appreciate that.
So I hope you guys are really taking this serious.
Oh, this is good. I could see.
Yes. Yeah. They was real dirty.
I mean, I said they not going to talk about me like a dog after
they
this.
Was dirty. They was dirty.
Thank you. Yeah, but there's one thing I wanted to address.
Go ahead.
Because I don't read the comments often.
Yeah.
And I try not to get all, like, my panties in a bunch.
Well, you know, I like the good comments, the bad comments, all the things.
Right.
Let's see what
she goes. Question, FloJo 2013, what's a good company for life insurance?
Oh, what state? Are they in? So
what state, FloJo?
Yeah, so
let us know what state.
So, you know, there are a lot, I mean, there are hundreds of companies for life insurance. What I would do is get with an agent or a broker who does life insurance and have them run a quote. And when you run a quote, they will run a quote to their top carriers, and they will basically, instead of you just going to one company and finding out what that one company is, they'll go through 10, 15, 20 different companies for a quote and then come back to you with the best quote for you, whatever that means to you.
Right.
Yeah, so definitely. Because there are a number of insurance companies out there for life insurance. Like, they're not paying us and they don't sponsor this show, so I wouldn't be listing names and stuff like that. If you did want to sponsor.
But when they start sponsoring us.
Oh, we'll talk about you all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Use this insurance.
Yes.
We'll even get the insurance.
Right. And I don't steer business. So the reality is that it's really the insurance that fits your needs.
Yeah.
You know, because I want to be clear for compliance purposes.
Yeah, because I don't want you, especially my beauty professionals that know me, right? I don't need you guys to go to Saraya and say, give me everything Rochelle got. Because Rochelle got two kids.
Right.
I got other little illnesses, right. Things and stuff. You know, things right. that I got
that
going on.
That you don't
on.
Know about.
You know, motorcycle insurance. How right. many of y'all drive a motorcycle? So I got accident insurance.
Bad camera. Okay. Because
I'm riding the motorcycle and I might hit something. So I think, you know what I mean? So you yeah. just can't come and get everything that Rochelle has because right. you don't have the same things going on that Rochelle got right. going on.
When you pulling that motorcycle out?
Oh, I'm pulling it out first spring.
I need a ride
first
on that
spring.
Joint.
Okay, first, I promise Lucy, you too, both of y'all, hold me accountable. Hold me accountable. I need accountability partner.
Okay.
Because I'll have that bike sitting out there and won't even, you know, paying
no,
insurance.
We're not going to do that.
And it's just sitting there.
We're going to use that.
Collecting dust.
Yep.
But I'm trying to figure out how to travel with my bike. How to take it with me, you know, when I go to,
what is it
you know,
to figure out?
I'm not riding it.
Why not?
To Virginia? I ain't riding into Virginia.
On,
I'm not
that
confident.
Life though, bro.
I'm not that confident.
Bro, you bought that life.
I'm not that confident.
Does it, is the bike a bike that can
it
make
can.
It to Virginia?
Yeah.
So get out there.
I'm
like,
scared.
You gotta have that experience.
I want to do a long ride.
Do it.
But I'm afraid.
Of what?
I don't know.
You're not afraid of nothing,
no.
bro. And it's most of the stuff that
little,
you are afraid of.
I can say that I'm a little, I'm going to conquer this, but I don't know if I could, you think I could ride from here to Virginia
if
on my bike?
If you wanted to. But you wouldn't make it like one of those trips where you just like on a time schedule. Like,
no.
This
no,
would be I'll like just... a cross country. Like you out there having fun. You want to stop, meet people, take the scenic route, stop at the top of the mountain, hit some pictures, bring your snacks with you, bring your meditation rug
you make
or your yoga
sound
rug.
So
like,
good.
You going to take your time.
You're making
this
sound so good.
You should do it.
Maybe I'm going to get my friend Shay to go with me.
Look. I'm rooting for you.
I'd rather ride in the
oh,
back.
Oh, Shay would go.
Yeah, Shay would
He's
go.
He's about that life.
Oh, you know he
He's
would.
He's about that life.
He'd be like, what? Wrong with you have, you no, want me to drive
he
you
He would have a whole gang
yeah,
following
would.
You
he
out
would.
There. Like 50 people on the road. It'd be a vibe.
He would. Yeah. You had another question, Asher? Okay.
Right.
And you said so.
Yeah. So what I was going to say to you is along the lines of what you was telling people, like, don't come and be like, give me what Ro got. Because
right.
there's so, you know, that comparison is like a thief in the night. And what I notice a lot of people do is compare themselves to what they think other people have and what they think they should have based on their status and what another person's status is. And so I saw a person in the comments, and like I said, I often don't like to read the comments, but when the comments start rolling, mm-hmm. I could sense a little bit of panic, mm-hmm. a little bit. So I attempted to, you know, address some of those things before it got out of control.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is, and let me say something quick about the about the comments,
go
right?
Ahead. Go ahead.
When your post is going viral, and these are for our social media heads that are out there building virality on their Instagrams, right?
Mm-hmm.
After you hit a certain number, this post goes into an abyss somewhere, into a whole nother portal that opens up of angry fucking people. I'm not lying.
It
I'm
does.
Not lying. And these
it
people
does.
Are weird and different.
Yep.
And they are on attack mode.
Yeah. Yeah.
They it's like the people who resurrected the White House.
Yeah.
Like these people coming out and they just, you know what I'm saying? They it's
yeah.
like the angry folks
yeah.
who, you know, yeah. who I don't know where that portal is that you tap into. But
yeah.
it happens.
I don't even care. I don't even think about that.
Yeah.
Like even when you told me that, when you made me aware of that,
yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. So I take comments
yeah.
like a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Like I really do. I feel like
right.
I want to engage with the people. I'm getting what I asked for.
Right.
You know, and everything ain't gonna be peachy and cream. Like
make
I get
it make
it.
Sense.
Yeah. I would like to make it make sense, but I know that there's some angry people out here.
Yeah.
So these my videos and all of my engagement, all
yeah.
of my, you know, my clips is just to empower you guys.
Right.
Like,
and these are for
it.
The people that actually want to use their mindset and do something positive with it and not stir up trouble for the people who want questions answered, who can't get the answer because you turned the moderator or the host or the expert off.
Right, exactly.
So now the people who need the info can't get it
because
you're just
it.
Out there wilding.
Yeah, it's like the student in the class that just won't
disruptive.
Keep still, just disrupting
right.
the whole movement.
Right.
But I'm not going to get turned off by none of y'all comments. I'm not going to get turned off by none of y'all
so
comments.
That was one of the things I saw was the comparison. And there was one in particular that where people were like, you know, with regards to insurance and state programs, that people worked all their lives and they don't have the afford the they have to still afford these luxuries that people who didn't work have.
Right. That's what what your country put into play.
Thank you.
We didn't put that into
play. These are programs that the state, who are responsible for some of these things, like there are things about the economy that people don't necessarily know, like market failures,
right,
that are probably the reason why people are poor.
Right.
You know, and these, we work off the status system and all of that. They need poor people to make this engine run.
Right.
You know, and so I'm saying that to say some of these people that now, like the country is so divided in so many ways, especially where we are, a lot of migrants are here.
Yep.
Coming in, so you got parents who are complaining in the school saying, "What? You know, their kids are here and this." So now everybody is the judge and the effing jury.
Mm-hmm.
You the judge and the jury, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whatever. But what I'm saying is people were upset that they felt like they worked their whole life and now these people are coming and they don't have... But look at the circumstances around it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. Do your best to stop comparing yourself to other people.
Right.
Because what you're asking when you say you want the free like them is the trade-off.
Right.
So you worked all your life and you can live where you want to live, extravagant or not, but it's your choice.
Right.
You can drive what you want to drive and eat what you want to eat, go to whatever restaurants. And that.
Yes.
This is what you paid for when you worked and you got your check and did whatever you wanted to do. You afforded these luxuries for yourself.
Right.
And so, and there's a price for that when you retire and you have to still pay into the system for you to acquire these luxuries that you have, like, and for your health and whatever it is, from insurance or whatever. Like, some of these people that you're complaining that the state is offering them services, who I'm boots on the ground. Sometimes I've been on the lines with them, on the food lines with them at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they waiting in the line is 300 people deep, waiting to get some porridge for breakfast, oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
Standing in the cold. I done put my snowsuit on in the cold before in 10 degrees below zero to be out there with the people serving or asking them questions and giving them insurance opportunities for them to cover themselves.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. There are people who are living in single room occupancies because they can't afford apartments.
Right.
And they might have to have a roommate situation or live in the building where they're... And in those single room occupancies, they might not only have to live amongst a whole bunch of other people, but under the conditions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine who's also in the business, and he was telling me how he did an enrollment for a person in the SRO who was sleeping on bed bugs. And they still needed to get covered.
Right.
Wow. Because of sickness and illness and everything else. Mm-hmm. And you wonder how that applies to you. Because if a person's here and they're from another country or wherever they at and they get sick and there's an outbreak, you are part of that outbreak too.
You're part of the outbreak, yep.
Why wouldn't you want them to have coverage?
Right. Right. I guess that's given us a whole different perspective.
And that's all I'm trying to do.
Because I have fell victim to, you know, we got all our people here.
No.
We're not helping our own people. We're not doing this. But if these people are going to be here, it makes sense for them to live the American way. Because if they don't, they're going to mess up everything that we don't
know. And that's just one example. There are people who live here already that are still getting assistance too because they circumstances speak to needing assistance. But if we're talking about migrants... In my personal opinion, now we're going into politics and ethics and morals and all of this other stuff. So you mean to tell me if somebody was living in so bad of conditions in many instances that they had to take the risk to leave where they are to change the trajectory for themselves and their family so that they could write a new story and they come to the Americas, the land of the free? And I am happy to be an American, let me say. I'm not saying that in no other way, but I'm saying that the optics is a mother effer, okay? If they're doing that, then who am I to judge? Because they want to break the chains. I've been in places where people are stuck. They live in certain types of governments that don't allow them to think, feel, do for themselves. And we're over here doing whatever
What I think that... Honestly, is that America is jealous. Like, we are jealous. that no, that America, because we feel like I'm just speaking for, you know, some of us, that we feel like, you know, all the things that we have going on over here, and when we're ready to open up a business, then we can't get what we want. And when we're trying to, you know, get this housing and mm-hmm. the welfare and mm-hmm. all of the food stuff, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. we feel like We take our money and we help people, new people, but we don't help the people that's already here. This is just what I'm hearing, even mm-hmm. in the salon.
Yeah, well, this the people is what that are already and here and have the same opportunities as everybody else.
Of that, honestly.
Think about that. Think mm-hmm. about that. How can you be mad at somebody else who is taking full advantage of an opportunity that you already have? Why are you not taking advantage of the opportunity and you here already?
Right.
Well, we can name a number of reasons why. Mm-hmm. I'm not judging their situation. I'm just saying it's no reason to have this animosity towards another person who's trying to make a way just like you.
Right.
So I'm not judging a person who's here already. There's a lot of circumstances. I come from humble beginnings. I grew up in the project.
Yeah, me too.
I made my way out because I used the opportunities that are already here in my country to elevate and leverage and position myself because I educated myself mm-hmm. on how to do it. And then I got my ass up and I did it.
Right.
But that was me.
Right.
There are other people who have limitations for one reason or another. Family history, trauma bonding, whatever mm-hmm. that is holding you back as an individual, you got to deal with that. That's what your journey is about, not mine. Right. You know what I mean? Or maybe mine's, but we navigate through that.
Yeah.
So there's no judgment is what mm-hmm. I'm saying. And that was what I saw a lot of in the comments about this one having and that one not having and that. And who the hell are you to make that decision? God? Because at the end of the day, from my understanding and belief, that's the only person that gets to make the decision on Judgment Day.
Right.
All you other motherfuckers is basically, you are, I'm the starring role in my life.
Right.
Everybody else is a cast member.
Right. 100%.
So I just said
I guess that wrapped it up. That look, just drop the mic. Like, what do you say after that? Asher, I think it's over. Like, it's over.
Thank you for having me. I am so elated that you all come to me for my knowledge and energy and info.
Because I could ask you anything and you'd be like, blah, 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 blah.
Not everything.
Almost anything.
I'm saying people should do their research too.
But almost anything. Because I can really call you and be like, ooh.
I try to be, I try to learn life.
Yeah.
Because this is multifaceted. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about one particular area. And I've tried my hand at so much stuff that I failed that it has given me the opportunity and strength to learn more about other stuff.
Right.
But you gotta put yourself out there
and be okay.
And that's how I know a little bit of this.
Because we done failed a lot with a lot and spent a lot of money.
Right.
Oh, man.
And I love that, too. Yeah. I don't know if this is sick or not, but I like that. Like, tell me no, I'm coming back stronger.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's like somebody could call me now and they'd be like, oh, Roy, you want to make this investment, this and this and that. I'd be like, let me think about it. Because usually I'd be like, oh, yeah. I'm used to jump on the bandwagon. Yeah. So you know what? Let me think about it. And then once I think about it, it's something that I don't think I'm really interested
in. That's right.
And it's okay. Right.
It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Congratulations, friend.
Thank you. So this has been Beauty, Business, and Banking. Till next time.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That was great.
That was good. So Asher, you are
my house.